This is Director Jared Maples of the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness, and I want to welcome you to Season 2 of Intelligence Unclassified. This season, we are refocusing our episodes to better reflect our office's three core mission areas: counterterrorism, cybersecurity, and emergency preparedness. We'll be pulling both local and national experts in these three fields, all in an effort to discuss New Jersey's diverse threat landscape and offer you a unique perspective on the current trends and issues facing the Garden State. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Please feel free to add this podcast to your RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow NJOHSP on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at NJOHSP. All links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njhomelandsecurity.gov.
Hi, my name is Dean Barada from the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness. On May 15th, our office held its second annual domestic terrorism conference, where we brought together law enforcement, intelligence, and academic professionals to discuss the topic of domestic terrorism and its presence in our communities across the country and internationally. The series of podcasts you're about to hear are interviews with many of those featured speakers who were there that day. We hope you find them interesting and as informative as we did.
Hi, Intelligence Unclassified listeners. My name is Angie Gadd. I'm a senior intelligence analyst with the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness. Today, I'm here with Clint Watts. He is a Robert A. Fox Fellow in the Foreign Policy Research Institute's program on the Middle East, as well as a senior fellow with its program on national security. Mr. Watts' research focuses on analyzing transnational threat groups operating in local environments. He served as a U.S. Army infantry officer, an FBI special agent on the Joint Terrorism Task Force, and executive officer of the Combating Terrorism Center at West Point. Clint, thanks for joining us. You recently testified before Congress about Russia's strategy to disrupt the U.S. Can you tell us a bit about your research and findings?
Sure. So I did that with Andrew Weisberg, Jay Amberger, and myself, and it was over about a three-year period. And we came to that because we encountered this sort of trolling operations in our study of ISIS. So that we kind of backed into the Russia example in 2014. And what was interesting was what they were doing was so much more sophisticated than we saw with ISIS. ISIS was getting a lot of attention because they were attracting a lot of young people. But what the Russians were doing was organized in a way that was far more prolific than anything we had seen with ISIS or Al-Qaeda. And the way they were going about it was a much more deliberate strategy. And so they also combined many efforts at once. In the ISIS sort of vein, when we talk about it, they're basically putting out propaganda, they're advertising to their audience, and then trying to draw them into a recruitment scenario. But the Russian system of disinformation, where they're trying to influence people, is very different. They're actually trying to do what is called the force of politics rather than the politics of force. The Russia and their forefathers, the Soviets, had always lost on the battlefield in the sense that they could not defeat NATO. You know, they couldn't defeat the European Union if they wanted to. But if they can break up those unions, then they'll have an easier way to do it. So what was fascinating was they were trying to win over American audiences starting in about 2015, whether they were on the left or right wing in terms of political orientation or even in terms of just the population versus the government. And that's really what they focus on. And it's called Active Measures. It's a program they ran during the Cold War, particularly in the 1980s. And it didn't work as well until they could do it on social media. And so I think what we noticed in our research when we were watching this is not only how effective it is in terms of influencing U.S. audiences, but what a disruptive effect it can have when you see them organized around an election, whether it be in the U.S. or the European Union.
Can you explain the differences and overlap between the white, gray, and black active measures used by Russia to distribute political, financial, and social messages?
Yeah. So white efforts are white, gray, black is a terminology used in information warfare. And so white means overt, black means covert, and in between are what's known as gray, where you're not sure about the attribution. Some might be sponsored. Maybe sponsorship is somewhat masked, but ultimately it can be tied back to whoever's doing the activity. And so white outlets would be Russian state-run propaganda. They don't hide, and this is the thing I'm always challenged about, they don't hide what they're doing or how they're influencing or what candidates they prefer in terms of an election. In the middle are gray websites, which are either witting or unwitting. Sometimes these websites don't know that they're actually taking Russian propaganda and running with it or brewing conspiracies from it. And then black outlets are these covert accounts, the trolls that you hear about, which can be actually manned by people or by automated bots oftentimes. And so they will try and look like the audience they want to influence, which is Americans, you know, in the American context, but are actually controlled or operated by Russians.
And now, in what ways is Russia influencing domestic extremist groups here in the United States?
Well, their goal isn't just about electing one candidate or another. You'll hear that routinely based on our election. You know, partisans will want to say this is because of my candidate or against my candidate, but that's not exactly what they're doing. Their goal is to incite divisions and sow mistrust across the U.S. populace so that they don't trust their elected officials. And we really see that today. You know, it's really happening to a very high level. So they will try and convince people that elections are rigged or voter fraud occurred, because that would strike at the legitimacy of those elected officials. And the other thing that they focus on is any sort of division. So if it's racial, ethnic, religious, pro-government, anti-government, whatever it is, they will try and foment that fracture, and they'll do it on both sides. So play both sides of it. The goal is just to create chaos inside the democratic countries that they're facing off against.
Now, are they conducting similar measures in other countries?
Yes. So they were there, I think, as you probably noticed, in the French election. That was another big effort that they were in. And right now, you'll see them start pushing towards Germany. The German election is coming up this September. It'll be a major one for them, because the big objectives that are out there for them are to break up NATO and the European Union. And if they can sway the German election in the way that they want, they can possibly achieve that goal.
Now, lastly, what is one good resource you would recommend to our listeners?
I would say you should definitely check out Andrew Weisberg's Active Measures blog. He has a blog there where he posts a lot of his analysis and sort of tracking. I think the other ones that are good to look at is Lawfare has done a very extensive sort of layout of all the evidence and cases that are out there. And then for open source, I think the guys in Bellingcat, which is this group, are really excellent at taking open source information and putting it into a cohesive fashion. So I'm a big fan of their work, and I think those three are all excellent. And not to forget, you know, Jan Berger's Intel Wire, where he's always posting on the overlaps between extremism and influence in social media.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Clint.
Thank you.
Again, all links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njhomelandsecurity.gov. If you have any ideas or topics for future episodes, please contact us on Twitter at NJOHSP or email us at intelunclass@njohsp.gov. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.